The Israeli military has completed its highly successful two-week operation at Al-Shifa Hospital. And when you look at the stunning details of this operation, of this battle, you see how incredibly humane and compassionate the Israelis are. And they pulled this off flawlessly. And you see how vicious and evil Hamas is. And yet, of course, the mainstream media, not a word about this, no credit whatsoever to the Israelis. That story's coming up. The Biden administration, you cannot make this stuff up. The Biden administration is registering prison inmates to vote. Literally, the DOJ is working with prisons to register inmates sitting there in jail and then provide them with mail-in ballots. And this policy came directly from an executive order by Joe Biden. And yet, if you say the election is rigged, then you're the denier. So that story is coming up. Last August, the governor of Maryland appointed a black woman as a commissioner of the Baltimore port. Okay, she was appointed not because she was qualified, not because she knew a thing about port safety or about maritime safety. She was appointed because she is a black woman. That literally the woke governor hired her as a DEI employee, a diversity employee. And her job was and is to prevent ships from crashing into bridges and making the bridge collapse. And she knew nothing about that. And now here we are 7 months later and a massive ship. And look, there are several commissioners we'll get to the details here. Several commissioners of this port commission, but literally a massive ship crashed into the bridge, knocked it down. This is like unprecedented. And are we supposed to believe that it is a coincidence that 7 months ago, this DEI appointee was put on to that commission? I mean, literally Boeing imposes DEI and they have chunks of airplanes flying off in midair. Okay. Air traffic control hires people based on their skin color. Now there are a record number of near misses taking place. Banks that impose DEI, they start collapsing left and right. So is that all coincidence? I mean, do you see the pattern here? On Thursday, President Biden and President Trump both traveled to New York. Trump attended a ceremony for Officer Jonathan Diller, who, of course, was tragically gunned down in Far Rockaway by a career criminal. This thug, this monster who gunned down Jonathan Diller, who, by the way, has a one-year-old child that he left behind. That man was arrested 21 times, okay? While Trump is at this memorial service, Biden attended a glitzy fundraiser in Manhattan with Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. It's egregious. Biden was literally just a few miles away from the ceremony for Jonathan Diller, yet Biden refuses to mention the man's name, acknowledge his existence. And like I said, the man who gunned him down, 21 prior arrests, okay, a violent felon, a convict, 21 arrests, 21 prior arrests, multiple convictions, spent 5 years in jail, came out a couple of years ago. Can we at least make a rule that if you've been arrested 21 times, okay, on violent crimes, on felonies, and then you go to jail for life, okay, is that something we can agree to? 21 strikes and you're out. Would anybody object to 21 strikes and you're out? Governor Hochul, she showed up at that same officer's ceremony, memorial service, whatever it was. She showed up on Friday and she was kicked out. She was literally kicked out by the family, and you see it on video. The video is surreal, where you have a confrontation. Somebody, this man, presumably a very emotional man, and he was a little intense, and who can blame him? He was presumably a relative of the Diller family. He basically started yelling at Governor Hochul. She's sitting there surrounded by her security detail. This man started yelling at her. She looked frustrated. She looked humiliated. And she walked away just truly embarrassed. And then you have people yelling in the background to her that she has blood on her hands, which is 100% correct because it's her bail reform laws that she upheld after Cuomo passed it, but she upheld it, and she's done nothing. She refuses to do anything to reform the horrific bail laws, no cash bail, and she literally has blood on her hands, and she's the reason that this felon who murdered Jonathan Diller was actually out and was actually released. And then she comes out and says, oh, I'm the one trying to reform the bail, which is, you know, which is a total lie. And remember the debate? Remember the debate that she had with Lee Zeldin where we've played you this clip many times where she says, oh, why are you obsessed? You keep harping on the crime. Why are you so obsessed with the surge in crime? Like that, what's the big deal? I'm in my ivory tower. Why do we care? Why do we even care about that? All right. At the Biden fundraiser, by the way, hundreds of pro-Hamas protesters stood outside chanting Genocide Joe. I mean, here Biden has become a sworn enemy of Israel, and yet there's still these Democrat voters and these Hamas activists, probably being funded by George Soros, are literally still putting enormous pressure on President Biden. Remember that same day that Trump went to East Palestine, Ohio, Biden was in Ukraine. Okay, so there's the contrast. Trump is at this Officer Jonathan Diller ceremony. Biden's at some glamorous fundraiser. Trump goes to East Palestine, where these poor people are suffering miserably. And where was Biden? He was in Ukraine. He wasn't even in the United States, and it took him a full year to go to East Palestine. Why has Biden not visited Baltimore yet, where we had that horrific collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge? Baltimore is literally just a few minutes away from Washington, D.C. All right, so I want to talk about the Battle of Al-Shifa, and we got a lot more to get to, of course, but the Battle of Al-Shifa Hospital. John Spencer is an urban warfare expert. We've quoted him before, and he's become a staunch defender of Israel. He's basically saying that Israel is more humane, more compassionate, more careful about protecting civilian lives than any other country in any other battle, any other war, for the most part. So John Spencer said that if you look at this Battle of Al-Shifa Hospital, he says, if you look at the numbers, he says the ratio is 200 to zero. He said 200 terrorists violating the laws of war. Because why? Because they literally used a hospital. Do you understand? It's unheard of for anybody to use a hospital. Only Hamas, only these evil, vicious terrorists use a hospital. And the hospital is still in use and still operational. So there are actually still patients and people suffering and sick people in this hospital and wounded people, of course. And yet Hamas goes, commandeers, it takes over a hospital, okay, and gets defended by the media, by all these governments, by the Europeans, by Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden. And they're literally these horrific terrorists, 200 to zero, because there were zero civilians killed. That's the ratio here, is 500 terrorists arrested, 200 terrorists who were killed, and zero civilians killed. Okay, the Israelis, it's just unheard of. It's unfathomable, the level of compassion and care that the Israelis showed here to protect their enemies, okay, the civilian lives of their enemies. So Lieutenant Colonel Peter Lerner of the IDF, he put out a tweet saying, quote, "The operation in Al-Shifa Hospital was a direct result of Hamas's strategy to take control of protected locations in anticipation that the IDF would not operate there. They chose to put people in dire need at risk." Okay, so he's pointing out that the reason Hamas, once again, and they've done it before, but is the Israelis drove them out the first time and then they went back, because they try to protect themselves, shelter themselves in places where they feel the Israelis will avoid, because the Israelis are A, too compassionate, and B, because it's obviously terrible PR when the Israelis attack these hospitals. So back to this quote here from the lieutenant colonel: "They chose to abuse the values we hold dear because they know we'll think twice because of the humanitarian consequences and the international optics. The operation was a military success, 200 terrorists killed, 500 terrorists detained, and again, zero civilian casualties. New intelligence is rolling in every day." The lieutenant colonel says the operation is a humanitarian tragedy for the people of Gaza who need sustainable medical infrastructure. So again, is it sad? Is it tragic that a hospital is being used and is literally on the front lines of the battle, of the war? Terrible, terrible. Who's to blame? One group is to blame, and that is Hamas. And the Israelis are ignoring this. And a caller made the point. Great point, caller made. A listener who called and left me a voicemail. Al-Shifa Hospital, remember, the first time the Israelis attacked Al-Shifa Hospital and took it over. Remember, the mainstream media actually condemned and criticized and slammed the Israelis, because the Israelis went in and they discovered evidence of terrorists having used the hospital. There was well-known intel that Hamas had overtaken and Al-Shifa Hospital, and that was literally one of their prime headquarters. But they didn't find a lot of terrorists there. When they did find some, but not the huge amount the Israelis had claimed there would be. So the mainstream media actually turned it on the Israelis. And the caller made the point, there are two reasons for this. Number one, because remember, they escaped into the tunnels. There was a huge network of tunnels under the hospital. So the Hamas terrorists were able to escape out of the tunnels. That's why the Israelis didn't find them the first time. And in addition, they knew they were coming. Everybody knew, the Israelis, that was the track. It wasn't a secret. So Hamas terrorists were able to escape. But now what happened was they went down further south into Gaza. And then it was a surprise ambush. Number one, the Israelis, of course, have filled in a lot of those tunnels, made those tunnels not accessible anymore. They've taken taken over those tunnels or totally filled them up. Number two, they didn't see it coming. So Hamas, what they did was they hedged. They went back into the hospital and hoped that the Israelis would not come back. And they had no idea. They were not expecting them. And there's nowhere to escape, nowhere to run, because now those tunnels are no longer accessible. So brilliant strategy there by the Israelis. And yet, of course, and now Israel's vindicated. That first time around, oh, Hamas, who says they don't really use Al-Shifa Hospital? The Israelis are making that up. The media really just villainized Israel. And now, obviously, Israel has 100% irrefutable proof. And yet, of course, the mainstream media is mostly ignoring this story. All right, coming up, George Soros gave $1 million to a group in Gaza linked to Hamas. And everything happening now clearly has been carefully orchestrated by the left. There's a global hatred. And that did not just pop up accidentally. And George Soros, we know, is a very, very big part of that. It's all by design. That's coming up. A new poll has been released from Bloomberg showing that Trump has a substantial lead over Joe Biden in six key swing states, and especially if RFK is in the race. So we're going to show you this poll. This poll surveys voters, both if it's a head-to-head two-way race, Biden-Trump, and if RFK is in the mix, and the other third-party candidates, but RFK is really the only one that matters. So this is a pretty stunning poll. Meanwhile, bombshell story by the New York Times says Barack Obama, this is the New York Times, okay? This is not some conservative right-wing publication. The New York Times says Barack Obama has grave concerns about Biden's chances in November. The New York Times says Obama's extremely worried and that Obama's been busy on the phones nonstop strategizing with the Biden campaign on how he could possibly defeat Trump. Now, here's my question. Is the New York Times run by right-wing conspiracy theorists, okay? Because the New York Times is telling us that Obama is basically taking control or is in control of the Biden campaign. Okay, why is it when conservatives, okay, claim that Obama's running the White House and running the Biden campaign, they're labeled as kooks, okay? They call us conspiracy theorists. Why? Where are we making this stuff up from? And yet the New York Times is literally reporting this, and the New York Times, they're quoting a senior advisor to Obama, an unnamed senior advisor. My guess is that the source is probably even Obama himself, who's leaking this to the New York Times, because I think it benefits him. But I don't think there's any question that when we say Obama is in charge, Obama is in charge, and the New York Times has now basically proven that. The CIA blocked investigators from interviewing a close friend of Hunter Biden, who's a highly suspicious individual. Literally, this is the person who has been supporting Hunter Biden financially and in many other ways, legally, a lot of ways, the last, and including this is the number one purchaser of Hunter Biden's artwork. Hunter Biden, of course, the next Picasso. And try looking at a Hunter Biden piece of artwork, a Hunter Biden painting. And if it doesn't strike you as being this phenomenal, wonderful piece of art, literally a Rembrandt, then obviously you just don't know art, okay? Because Hunter Biden, he's just so gifted. But either way, this man is like the number one buyer of Hunter Biden artwork, but he also has given him millions of dollars to fund his legal expenses, and yet the CIA wanted to interview him, speak with him, to, you know, see if he is connected at all to all the allegations, criminal allegations against Hunter Biden. And the CIA, I may have misspoken. Federal investigators wanted to speak. You had the IRS, the DOJ, I think the FBI. We'll get to it. But a bunch of agencies wanted to interview this close confidant and friend of Hunter Biden, and the CIA blocked them. So that's just a stunning story, which we will get to coming up. You know, squatters' rights in New York State are out of control. You could literally have your property stolen. If you have property in New York State and you're away for 30 days, it's vacant for 30 days, your property can be stolen and almost impossible to retrieve. And people, squatters, including illegals, are taking advantage of these insane laws. That story's coming up. Welcome to the Yaakovim Show. We are on Yeshiva International, the VIN VIN podcast, 24/6, Nucky Radio. Send us an email, josh@vinnews.com, josh@vinnews.com. And all we ask, and we've been getting a lot of emails, and again, I read every email. I respond to a lot of them. Got an interesting email the other day. I'll probably have to save it for the next show. Somebody made a really good point. We told you about Google's definition, redefining the word bloodbath, because they took away the Trump definition of the word bloodbath. So Colin made an interesting point about that. A listener who actually sent us an email at josh@vinnews.com. So hopefully we'll get to that at some point. Look, the Yaakov Em Show, all we ask is for you to tell everyone you know about this show about once a week. You know, give or take. You know, just tell everybody that you know, hey, maybe check out the Yaakov Em Show. Got a lot of places. So it could be the Yeshiva International Hotline, if that's what you prefer, but it could be on the VIN News Podcast or 24/6, Nucky Radio, you know, so check it out. All right, Rona McDaniel, I do want to make this point. That an MSNBC, you know, we told you Rona McDaniel, she worked for NBC for about 3 days. And then under enormous pressure from NBC's own news anchors and news talent, the executives fired Rona McDaniel because she's supposed to be some sort of like radical insurrectionist. She's supposed to be some sort of like MAGA lunatic, which she's not. But an MSNBC pundit, I literally heard this where an MSNBC pundit compared the hiring of Rona McDaniel. She said it's like hiring a mobster to be your legal analyst. That's literally what the MSNBC pundit said. These people are so irrational and deranged. They don't even know what they sound like. But a former chair of the RNC, Rona McDaniel. Okay, and whatever your issues, I had issues with Rona McDaniel. But literally the former head of the RNC, and she was hired as a political analyst. Okay, she literally represents the Republican Party. That is one of the two parties in our two-party system. There's only two. There's Republicans and Democrats. She was, in a certain sense, the head. She wasn't the head of the Republican Party, obviously, because Trump was and continues to be. But you get my point here. Okay, it's like hiring a mafia murderer as your legal analyst. Okay, and then they say we're the ones who are irrational. All right, so I want to spend a minute talking about COVID and specifically talking about ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. For those of you who still, you know, this story, it still grips me. Some of you are thinking, oh, you know, are we going back to COVID? And then some of you are like, oh yeah, this is insane. Like, this is crazy because this is still happening. Number one, it's still happening because there's still, you know, these people in the name of science are still wrecking our country and doing all sorts of things and claiming it's in the name of science. In a way, they're even worse than they were during COVID, believe it or not. But also because the lessons that we have to realize in terms of relying on the government, in terms of how all these agencies, these health agency, every government agency, every government office and department. But you know what Reagan said, right? The scariest words and the 9 words in the English language. I'm from the government. I'm here to help. It's so true. Nothing could be more true. But the FDA and the CDC and the NIH, right? All these letters, the alphabet soup letters that they claim to care about health, and it's the furthest thing. They literally murder people and kill people, and it's all about the money for them, and it's all about the profits and big pharma. And they do things the opposite of health. The WHO was complicit with China with spreading the pandemic. I mean, all of these agencies that claim to be health agencies, They are out to hurt people. That is what they do. They literally, you know, if you were running the agency and didn't know anything, you'd get it right sometimes and get it wrong other times. They get it wrong every time. It's by design. I don't see any way to avoid it. That's what's so frustrating to me. So the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeal, the reason this is in the news now is because just about a week or two ago, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled against the FBA, the FDA, I should say, and in favor of a bunch of science deniers, doctors, and I'm being facetious here, obviously, they're not science deniers, but that's what they claim. These doctors saved thousands of lives with ivermectin. Remember ivermectin? The FDA waged war on ivermectin. And it turns out that ivermectin is one of the safest and most effective drugs that were used to treat COVID. And every study that's come out, there have been tons and tons of studies and meta-analyses that have come out with ivermectin. And one after the next, they show that ivermectin is safe and effective and treated COVID and much better than the garbage that Dr. Fauci and the FDA forced on people, remdesivir, which was much more profitable, but not effective and not safe and probably killed a lot of people. So the FDA was busy murdering people, probably by withholding ivermectin and giving people this remdesivir drug, which is pure junk. There was no evidence whatsoever in any of the studies that it saved lives. Like I said, it probably killed people and remdesivir from all the reports that I saw. And they kept like trying. See, this remdesivir, they were desperate for it to be a profitable drug. They actually tried remdesivir for other illnesses before COVID came along. And it did not work. It just simply didn't work. But then COVID came along. It also didn't work. But like they had enough evidence to claim that somehow it helped. And like I said, they made tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe more, maybe billions, on remdesivir. So it's just a total disgrace. Well, now a court has ruled that the FDA overstepped, because the FDA, they literally ridiculed doctors who gave ivermectin, and they forced doctors to lose their licenses over this, seriously. And it turns out the FDA has no right to do that. It turns out the FDA has no right, and the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals is not conservative by any stretch, but they say the FDA has no right to tell doctors when to prescribe drugs, how to prescribe drugs, and certainly cannot post tweets, as the FDA did, making fun of people taking ivermectin. They called ivermectin a horse pill, which is a lie, because ivermectin, it's used for horses, yes, it's also used for human beings. It kills parasites. And there are a bunch of drugs, and they had a form, a pill, that was used for human beings, and yet the FDA said, oh, you're taking ivermectin, you're taking a horse drug, which was a lie. It's also a horse drug. There's other medicines out there that can come in human form or horse form. And the proof is the FDA approved it in 1987 for humans to treat parasites. It's been used for decades. It's safe, it's effective, it's been used for decades, and the FDA then goes and makes fun of it because it interfered with the other drug that they were pushing on people, which didn't even work and actually was dangerous. The government messed up the COVID response so badly in every way, right? It's not possible to believe that it was not intentional, because here's the thing, okay? You literally, so many mistakes. I mean, they literally messed everything up. You talk about the masks and the vaccine and which drugs to treat it with, and hydroxychloroquine and everything else. I mean, literally, if you had a monkey making the decisions, the monkey would have been done a lot better than Fauci. Fauci got it wrong every single time, and even the origins, right, which they blamed on the bat, and everybody knows it was the Wuhan lab. I mean, at this point, even Biden, the Biden administration has admitted that, believe it or not. So if you were just flipping a coin, deciding what treatments to use, and whether masks and lockdowns and vaccines and everything else, right, on policies, if you were flipping a coin, you would have had a much better track record than Dr. Fauci, okay? The monkey would have done a lot better. So Fauci got everything wrong. It's because it was by design. And you know what bothers me? What really bothers me? It's one thing to mess up as badly as Fauci did. I mean, not only should he lose his government pension, and the man, I mean, was the highest paid man in the entire federal government, no exaggeration, and he was there for decades. He's a disgrace. He should be thrown in jail, okay? It's like he should be forced to admit that he's responsible for who knows how many deaths, and the man, Fauci, should be thrown in jail, but they're never held accountable. Look, Trump is on trial right now with all these felony charges. Fauci and Dr. Fauci and Governor Cuomo, okay, responsible for so many deaths, are treated as heroes. But what bothers me even more is that they do not admit that they're wrong. Like, in other words, the government still doesn't want to learn from this ordeal. They're still sitting there saying they were right, Sweden was wrong. They're still sitting there blaming Trump, which makes absolutely no sense. It's just such a disgrace. So ivermectin, the FDA put out ads calling it a horse medicine. They made fun of people. It was approved for use in humans since 1987, and they said it was unsafe. How can you say it's unsafe? It's safe to treat parasites, but it's unsafe for COVID. It makes absolutely zero sense. Literally dozens and dozens of studies show ivermectin is not only safe, but it was much more effective at treating COVID than anything else. The FDA banned doctors. They said doctors cannot use it to treat COVID. And it turns out the court says the FDA had no right to do that. The FDA has one job, the court says. You can either approve a drug or not approve a drug. Either a drug is safe or it's not safe. You have no right to go and tell doctors you can only prescribe for this and not for that. And there are tons of medicines that are used for, you know, they use antidepressants as painkillers, and they use different medicines for anti-anxiety. There are tons of medicines that have multiple uses. The FDA has no right to do that. But you're talking about, not only did who knows how many people die because they had no access to ivermectin, but you know how many doctors lost their licenses because they prescribed ivermectin, or they lost their practices, or insurance companies would no longer work with them. I mean, they ruined these doctors' lives, and these doctors said, listen, I see it works, I know that it works, so we're going to prescribe it, and if I lose my career, so be it. They were blacklisted, and the stuff worked because the FDA wanted to push drugs that made all these profits. So it really, and by the way, Fauci's the one who created COVID. And that now is, you know, it's a conspiracy theory. No, it's not. They literally funded gain of function research through EcoHealth Alliance. Fauci gave millions and millions of dollars. He admitted it under oath to China, to the Chinese lab. And it was used for gain of function research. And it was used to create a coronavirus that was transmissible to humans and that was highly deadly. They were doing it for some kind of silly experimental purpose. Explain that to me, how they're in a Chinese lab experimentally trying to design a coronavirus, this virus that can latch on to humans and do terrible, terrible damage and be terribly deadly. And oh, by the way, it escaped. I mean, somebody explained to me how that somehow is like a good idea, and that's something that taxpayers should be funding. And yet Fauci, zero accountability. All right, so a huge container ship slammed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge, right, causing it to collapse, as everybody knows. And it turns out diversity hiring may have played a role. And we're seeing this trend again and again. In August, woke Democrat Governor of Maryland, Wes Moore, appointed a DEI consultant onto the Maryland Port Commission, okay, as part of the Maryland Port Commission. So that commission, among other things, it's in charge of making sure that the port stays safe and that ships don't crash into the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Her name is Corinthia Barber, okay? The headline that announced when she was hired, when she was appointed to this commission, the Port Commission, it described her as the first black woman to serve as Maryland Port Commissioner. This is last August. Coincidence? Okay, they hired a black woman for diversity. Now the bridge collapses. I'm just telling you the fact. Maybe it really is a coincidence, but it's a pretty staggering coincidence. Now, there was little evidence, okay, I'm reading from the Daily Wire right now, there was little evidence that this Corinthia Barber had any kind of substantial maritime experience, okay? The Daily Wire asked her to comment about her qualifications for the job, and shockingly, she did not return their request, she did not respond. Now, listen to this. The three commissioners on this commission, there's a bunch on this commission, right? The three commissioners on the commission who were appointed by Republican governors have expertise in managing major transportation hubs or maritime ventures. But the one that was appointed recently by this leftist Democrat governor, she had no experience that we know of in major transportation hubs or in maritime ventures. But at least she knew a lot about diversity. OK, and at least she's a black woman. So it really is egregious. And we'll get to a little bit more of that coming up, actually. President Biden announced that he's working to secure the release from a Russian prison of Jewish journalist Evan Gershkovich. Okay, we don't talk a lot about Evan Gershkovich. We probably should. It really is very, very tragic, heartbreaking. He's a Jewish journalist. He's being held literally hostage by Putin. They call it a prison, okay, but we know the truth. And it's and he's in there on bogus charges of spying that are totally fabricated by Vladimir Putin. He's a Wall Street Journal reporter, and he's been there for a year. As far as we know, Biden has done nothing in the past year. Now, Biden has announced that he's working to try to secure his release. Okay, why is it happening now? Sorry for being cynical, but it's happening now because we're in an election year. Biden wants a big win. They save this kind of thing because they're going to time it so that it literally rigs to happen right close to the election. Okay, this is just a pawn. Biden views everybody as a pawn on his giant chessboard. Okay, his whole life is a big chessboard, and it's like, okay, how can I use people to try to boost myself? That's what Biden's life is all about. I mean, clearly from start to finish. So Evan Gershkovich, it's horrific. And again, you know, it's just heartbreaking and tragic. And we hope beyond words that he's released, you know, as soon as humanly possible, because it's unthinkable what he's experiencing right now. But Biden has no compassion for anybody. But again, the timing is perfect because it's April now. These negotiations we know take several months. And you have to believe that in October, there's going to be this big, celebration, you know. And again, I hope it happens sooner than that. And I hope if it doesn't, then I hope it happens by then, obviously. But I have no doubt in my mind that Biden's doing this for Biden. Biden's not doing this for anybody else. All right. So I mentioned George Soros in the past 10 years has given at least $1 million in grants to a group in Gaza with strong links to the Hamas terrorists. That's according to the Washington Examiner. He sent money, $1 million, to the Al-Mizan Center for Human Rights since 2012, okay? And according to the Examiner, public records show that the center hosts events with terrorists and is led by people with connections to Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad. By the way, the Republicans in the House, a bill passed the House a couple of weeks ago, the Laken Riley Act. And of course, Laken Riley was the college student who was horrifically, tragically gunned down by an illegal alien. And I know you're going to get offended by the term illegal. And how can I be so insensitive? Look, President Biden, he used the term illegal. So how can I not use the, if I don't use the term illegal, then I'm not following President Biden. Obviously, he didn't consider it offensive until a couple of days later when they grilled him on it and forced him to basically apologize. But listen to this bill, because the Democrats voted against this bill, which is it's a total disgrace The bill says that any illegal who commits a crime in the United States, in addition to the crime of crossing, because the crime of crossing the border illegally, that itself, that's why we call them illegals, because they're in the country. Oh, a person can't be illegal. Ilhan Omar says a human being can't be illegal. Yes, they can. If their entire existence in America is being done illegally because they're breaking the law just by being here, then they are an illegal alien, okay? But either way, the bill says if they commit an additional crime, they should be deported immediately, okay? You should not even need a separate law. But they passed the Laken Riley Act. They should not need a separate law because they have every right to deport them, but they need a separate law. Well, virtually every Democrat, almost every Democrat voted against this bill. This bill's a no-brainer. And yet the bill passed overwhelmingly. I guess the Democrats agree with me. They think, well, this is so obvious that you don't need a bill. No, that's not the case. But this bill passed 251 to 170. 251 to 170. Okay, every Republican voted in favor of this bill. 37 Democrats voted in favor. 251 to 1. So 170 Democrats voted against this bill. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. It is extremely, extremely egregious and disgraceful that they could vote against a bill like this. All right, so as I said, according to a new Bloomberg poll, President Trump has a substantial lead over President Biden in 6 of 7 swing states if RFK is in the race. Even if RFK is not in the race, Trump still has a healthy lead. But if RFK is in the race, oh boy, Trump is crushing Biden. And let me go first to the head-to-head matchups, okay? Head-to-head without RFK. Georgia, Trump is up by 7 points, 49 to 42. Arizona, Trump is up by 5 points, 48 to 43. Nevada, Trump leads by 2 points, 46 to 44. North Carolina, 6-point lead, Trump 49, Biden 43%. Pennsylvania, neck and neck, dead heat, Trump, Biden 45% each. Michigan, Trump and Biden 45%. Wisconsin, Biden's actually leading by 1 point, 46 to 45%. That's without RFK in the race. With RFK in the race, and this is why Democrats are so terrified of RFK, this is why, you know, Obama is having a meltdown. North Carolina, Trump leads by 6. Pennsylvania, Trump leads by 6. Arizona, Trump leads by 6. Nevada, Trump leads by 6. Georgia, Trump leads by 7. Wisconsin, Trump up by 2. And Michigan is a tie. So very, very solid numbers there. If RFK is in the race, I mean, again, the one variable that we have no control over is, you know, we have Biden literally registering, using government agencies to register illegals, and then they're going to, not illegals, that too, by the way, but register prison inmates, and then they're going to send mail-in ballots into prison. This mail-in ballot thing, they are leveraging it for all it's worth. So that's the one thing we can't control is deceased people, illegals, and who knows what else. But without cheating, I mean, all the polls are trending right now in heavy favor of Trump, and simply because, not because of Biden's age, because people are unhappy, people are miserable, the world is on fire, the economy is in shambles. Very simple formula, okay? That is a recipe for an incumbent to lose, is the exact situation we have right now. John Eastman is a conservative lawyer and a very, very pro-Trump lawyer. He is about to be disbarred by the state of California, okay? And this is stunning because it sounds like even a lot of Republicans and a lot of members of the swamp on the Republican side have been pushing for John Eastman to be disbarred. They kind of threw him under the bus, okay? What did John Eastman do? What's his crime? He defended Trump in 2020. He tried to ensure a fair election. He questioned, all he did was try to uphold democracy by questioning the integrity of the election. There were a lot of irregularities. There were a lot of suspicious things that went on. And John Eastman was one of the very few people, we know about Giuliani, one of the very few people who questioned the irregularities and said, hey, we've got to investigate. He never said, let's overturn the election. He said, we need to make sure that the election was carried out fair and square. And for that, that was his crime. He's being disbarred. And now they're not disbarring Fannie Willis, who's the Fulton County DA, who indicted Trump, who perjured herself in court. They're not disbarring all the DOJ lawyers who lied about Trump, who carried out the Russia hoax and everything else. Andrew McCabe, all these people who suppressed the investigation into Hunter Biden, the people who illegally spied on the Trump campaign. They're all lawyers. None of them have been disbarred. I wonder, did they even disbar, what was his name? Kevin Kleinsmith, the lawyer who changed, you know, who knew Carter Page was a CIA operative, but edited the email before it was sent to the FISA court. Okay. And he was actually, he pled guilty and he actually went to jail very briefly. He's like the one person who John Durham sent to jail. Was he disbarred? I don't know. Let's look into it. I will bet you not. Only Trump lawyers get disbarred. And now a very close friend of mine, somebody who's extremely knowledgeable, and I was not even aware of this. I saw him the other night. I haven't seen him in a while. Really wonderful, wonderful person. And, you know, he actually told me that Trump's own White House lawyers, including, what's his name? Pat Cipollone, they were reporting John Eastman to the Attorney General's office to William Barr back in 2020, when he was probing whether the election was rigged. Trump's own people, you know, they made it toxic to question the election results. See, this whole thing is so orchestrated where whether you're Republican, Democrat, look at what they did to Giuliani. I mean, they destroyed Giuliani's career and reputation. Why? Because he actually questioned the election. What's incredible is, so like they've made it toxic now. If in November, if Trump were to lose and you have Trump's, if he would lose, trust me, he's going to question the results of the election and, you know, question whether it was done fairly or whether it was rigged. But if you do that, they made it that everybody's going to be terrified because you do that, then you're going to lose your license. You're going to lose your friends. You're going to be banished. You'll be an outcast. You're going to be ostracized. Meanwhile, think about this. The only way a democracy, if you're not allowed to question election results, that's what the Democrats have done, right? You cannot question election results. You know where you can't question election results or you're ostracized? Iran, North Korea, Russia. That's what they want, okay? In a democracy, the whole point of the function of a democracy is that you're allowed to question the results of an election, okay? A democracy cannot survive if you cannot question election results because then they can go and steal an election. Think about that. All right, so like I said, speaking of stealing an election, the Biden DOJ is registering prison inmates to vote via mail-in ballot, and it came directly from a Biden executive order. There's a government effort to register voters in the U.S. prison system all over, hundreds and hundreds of prisons, and there are critics. This comes from the Mississippi Secretary of State, the Secretary of State of Mississippi. He wrote, his name is Michael Watson. He wrote a letter to AG Merrick Garland, okay, alleging that agencies under the AG's charge, under the DOJ, are attempting to register people to vote, including potentially ineligible felons, and they are co-opting state and local officials into accomplishing this goal. This is insanity. President Biden's Executive Order 14019 says, quote, the head of each agency shall evaluate ways in which the agency can promote, you know, as appropriate and consistent with applicable law, promote voter registration and voter participation. So this Watson, this Mississippi Secretary of State, Michael Watson, he wrote, quote, among other things, this order modifies more than 900 contracts with prisons and jails to provide voter registration documents and facilitate mail-in voting for inmates. This insanity. So we have Biden issue an executive order, and that is he's using the DOJ and using a bunch of government agencies to register tens of thousands of voters, some of whom are illegal, ineligible, not allowed to vote, including prison inmates. And they're going to go and send them mail-in ballots. So you see what they're setting up to do here. Pretty amazing. All right. A Chinese national. Did you hear about this? A Chinese national was arrested on Friday after sneaking onto a military base in California and refusing to leave. And this happens all too often. This is not uncommon where you'll have a Chinese national, and we know what they are. They're spies being sent by China, infiltrating a U.S. military base. It's really terrifying. And what I'm more concerned about, you know, this, we've heard about the ones that they catch. What about the ones that they don't catch? And it's very, very disturbing to say the least. So this is at a Marine Corps base in California. And as we know, there have been so many Chinese nationals, tens of thousands of Chinese nationals. They're single adult males, Chinese, who are coming into the United States in droves, okay? And if you think for a second that it's not Chinese communist spies, then you better think again. We know what's going on here. And literally, the presence of Chinese nationals on American soil has been alarming lawmakers for months, at least Republicans. It really just is very, very, very frightening. Border Patrol Chief Agent Gregory Bovino posted on Twitter on Friday that agents responded to a call from a Marine base about a Chinese national who entered the base without authorization and ignored orders to leave. The subject was confirmed to be in the country illegally. So this was a Chinese illegal who infiltrated this Marine base, and his purpose and intent are still being investigated. Well, I think I have a pretty good suspicion. Think about this. There are approximately 15,700 Chinese migrant encounters at the U.S.-Mexico border in just the first 3 months of the current fiscal year, which began October 1st. So that surpasses the 14,600 encounters for the entire 2023 fiscal year. So as election day draws near, the Chinese are sending as many illegals, many Chinese as possible to sneak into the country illegally. And the DOJ earlier this week or last week indicted 7 Chinese nationals suspected of hacking on behalf of China for over 14 years. So they are hacking us. They're sneaking into naval bases, marine bases, military bases, stealing secrets. They got the Chinese spy balloon. I mean, it is disastrous what China is doing to the country right now. And they are patient. The Chinese are patient. So they're waiting. Okay. Do not feel, I don't want you to feel alarmed. I'm sorry. But I also don't want you to have a false sense of security, because what China is doing right now, it is so calculated, and it is so incredibly perilous and dangerous, and Biden's letting it happen. Remember, they used to have 50 questions when they would vet a Chinese national who was coming across the Mexican border and claiming asylum. They used to have 50 questions to vet them, and they would deport them if they got the questions wrong. They narrowed it down. Biden whittled it down to 5. So, and they can memorize the answers, and they know what's coming. So literally, Biden is allowing anybody Chinese to come into the country. No questions asked, no vetting. It is just a disaster waiting to happen. This one who infiltrated the Marine base, he should be treated as an enemy combatant. Gordon Chang said this, send him to Guantanamo Bay, but it's not going to happen. A caller made the point, same caller as who made the point about the Al-Shifa hospital. You know, he said to me, he said, I shouldn't analyze. You know, we were kind of picking the brain, analyzing RFK voters, Biden voters, Democrat voters, to try to understand why would a Democrat voter, you know, why would you vote for RFK? I mean, a vote for RFK, if your alternative is Biden and you're voting for RFK, then it's a vote for Trump. Just stay home because you're just helping Trump. RFK is not going to win. So why would you do that? And maybe there's no answer. Maybe they're irrational. Maybe there's an answer. We suggested an answer last time, but the caller says, listen, don't overthink this. They're irrational. They're mentally ill. Okay, Democrat voters are mentally ill. So if I'm trying to analyze them, then you know who knows. Like, I shouldn't go there. Who knows where I'll end up? So great point. All right, like I said, a whistleblower has testified that the CIA blocked federal investigators from interviewing Kevin Morris when they were probing Hunter Biden's tax crimes. Okay, Kevin Morris loaned Hunter Biden $6 million. Kevin Morris is the number one purchaser of Hunter Biden's artwork, so he either has really bad taste in art or he has an ulterior motive. Jonathan Turley, conservative lawyer Jonathan Turley, he wrote an op-ed, I think, in the New York Post, and he wrote that this Kevin Morris is Hunter Biden's confidant, art patron, business partner, and his lawyer, and now he may be a CIA asset as well, because the whistleblower says the CIA blocked federal investigators from interviewing Kevin Morris, who's the entertainment lawyer who has literally subsidized the expenses and bought the art of Hunter Biden, given Hunter Biden millions and millions of dollars. So as if we needed any more evidence that the Hunter Biden investigation is rigged. The whistleblower says that the CIA prevented the IRS and the DOJ investigators from interviewing Morris in August of 2021 while they were, like I said, investigating all the crimes that were committed allegedly by Hunter Biden. So now Jim Jordan and James Comer, the chairman of the Oversight and Judiciary Committee, they actually have questioned the CIA about this, because they were told by this whistleblower that 2 DOJ officials were summoned to CIA headquarters in Langley. And literally, the CIA told these DOJ investigators, they said Morris could not be a witness for their investigation. So the CIA, this is according to the New York Post, the CIA literally suppressed the investigation into Hunter Biden. What a shock. Squatters laws are out of control in New York City. I believe I said New York State before. I think it's in the entire state. It's not good, but New York City is by far the most insane, the most extreme, the most radical. So New York City has a law that says that people can declare squatters' rights after living on a property for just 30 days, okay? And it actually, 30 days, somebody goes to Florida for 30 days or goes on a cruise for 30 days, they come home, somebody squatting in their property, they will not be able to get them out. It literally takes more than 30 days for a landlord to even just get a court date in housing court, okay? So New York City's woke leaders are responsible for these insane laws being on the book. As an article I read, a quote here, an excerpt here, said, in what universe would somebody believe that people can be entitled to property rights based on breaking and entering after just 1 month of vacancy? And for that matter, there should be no amount of time after which squatters are given any sort of legal standing at all. All right, let's see. Anything else? Oh, and finally, Boeing. Three top executives at Boeing have resigned. Okay, it's years too late. And of course, Boeing has been plagued with safety issues, but now we know it's all sorts of negligence. And, you know, I believe it's two issues, okay? Number one, we've always told you about this Boeing. They've made DEI a priority. But in addition, you know, they are a large government contractor. They're massive, massive, like hundreds of thousands of employees. And they've got these huge defense contracts. So they've been protected by the government. They've been protected by the swamp. In addition, Boeing, they've been competing, you know, because there are more energy efficient airplanes out there from their competitors. So they're trying to make these very energy efficient. They get hammered by the left because of the damage they do to the climate. So they're trying to make more climate friendly airplanes and other vehicles. And as a result, they've actually cut a lot of corners, and they have totally not put an emphasis on safety. Boeing has replaced it. So three top executives, including the CEO, have resigned. And the CEO of its commercial division has been replaced by a female. And I'm just curious, you know, I'm just asking the question, is it based on merit, okay, or is it based on DEI? Why are they appointing this woman? I'm just asking the question. She might be the most qualified, but, you know, we can ask. Finally, I just wanted to mention a listener left me a voicemail. We told you about how Washington State no longer requires a bar exam to become a lawyer. There are other ways to become a lawyer without passing the bar exam, ways that are much less rigorous. And so a caller made the point. Caller said that, look, you know, if caller said basically college is overrated, graduate school is overrated. If this is something that can require less education, then that's a good thing. You know, if they are saying less law school is needed, because we know that they waste so much time in these colleges and graduate schools. And we know about, obviously it's been exposed now, all the anti-Semitism, all the leftism, all the wokeism, and it's funded by tax dollars. So we're paying the money to these universities and colleges, and it's being used to just brainwash people and make them into these radical leftists, woke leftists, right? So that you know, if this is going to make, you know, college less valuable and less required, then isn't that a good thing? And the call is right, except that's not what's happening over here. It's the exact opposite. As I understand it, I would agree 100%. You know, because a lot of colleges, you know, a lot of degrees that people need, they have to go through all sorts of hoops and all sorts of requirements and everything else. It would be so much better to have an apprenticeship to you know, and again, the Democrats will never allow this. The Democrats, they subsidize colleges. It's all, the government is, it literally has overtaken colleges and used it to pass the leftist agenda. And they're using it to brainwash and create all these leftist academic elitists. It's terrifying what's happening in these colleges, and we're paying for it, which is insane. But that's not what's happening here. Here it's the opposite. You're going to still need law school. They're never going to get rid of law school. They're never going to get rid of the requirements, at least it doesn't seem like it, for degrees and for all of that. So doctors need medical school, lawyers need law school, and accountants need, you know, some sort of degree. You always are going to need the degree. You know, in a lot of these, obviously not every industry, but a lot of these industries, because again, that's what the government, that's their whole agenda, is to make sure that the colleges are as strong as ever and that people need college. And again, doesn't mean you need college for every job, obviously. And it's becoming less and less required as businesses are seeing that that's not the be all end all, but colleges are needed for law school. It's the bar exam. Okay. It's not the degree. It's not the 3 years of graduating law school. That's not the part that they're removing the need for the bar exam. So you're still going to need the college. It's the opposite. What you're not going to need is the test. The test is the thing that actually does matter, because it weeds out the people who are not qualified, the people who are qualified. They're making it that even other people can qualify. Yeah, colleges also, but colleges, they have a way of, you know, passing the students that need, that need that extra help. The bar exam is black and white. You either pass or you fail. All right, that's going to do it for today, and we will see you next time.